Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, out of the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is September the 23rd, 2024, or is the 21st day of Tishri, 2028. We will start our first service on this day with a continuation of our Man on a White Horse. We're on page 11. It says, this is part two of the Man on the White Horse tribe by Ben Roden. And like I say, we're on page 11. This is The Association's Literature, The Shepherd's Rod series, draws its title from the rod of the Moses, the Shepherd of Midian. So Leviticus, page 4, section 2, article 4, officers and their duty. The regular officers of this association shall be a president, a vice president, a secretary, and a treasurer. B, the president shall be called and chosen in accordance with the procedure set forth in the Exodus chapter 3, verses 10, 15 and 16, chapter 4, verses 17, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17, and Luke chapter 6, verse 13, of Leviticus, page 5 and 6. Moses is called to deliver Israel from Egypt. Since in Mrs. White's day, she wrote, the church had turned back from following Asher, her leader, and is steadily retreating toward Egypt. That's in Testimony, volume 5, 2:17. Is it not logical to conclude that Yahweh would send an antitypical Moses with a shepherd's rod to deliver modern Israel out of the modern Egypt from their worldly practice? So then you'd have to say that Luke the Olive was this antitypical Moses in 1930. That's where it fits. We find that Sister White can compare the leadership of the denomination unto ancient Pharaoh. Notice her words. The ways and the works that have been developed in Battle Creek since the General Conference of 1901 caused me to tremble for those who are there, for many have been acting as if blinded by the satanic agency. Series B, number 7, page 52. I am instructed that those who follow on in a wrong course, regardless of the lesson taught by the burning of the sanitarium and the review in hell office, are revealing the stubbornness of the Pharaoh, page 19, by Ellen G. White. I'm sorry, so sorry, that men will be willfully obstinate as is Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, page 20. Unless they repent, the Yahweh will surely repeat his judgment as he repeated them to the king of Egypt. Page 19. Since Sister White said the General Conference men were acting like Pharaoh, the weight of the evidence overwhelmingly demands an antitypical Moses with an antitypical shepherd's rod to face modern Pharaoh. This is the Davidian leader, V.T. Hallett, states was his mission with the message of the Shepherd God. C, in parentheses, all other officers of this association shall be appointed in accordance with the procedure set forth in the Numbers chapter 11, verses 16, 17, 24, and 25, and in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, and chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, Leviticus page 6. Here we see all officers of the association are chosen in harmony with the Yahweh's command under Moses of old. It is also plainly seen that Moses chose his co-workers, the 70 according to Yahweh's direction. Read Numbers 11, 16, 17, 24, and 5. For the present shall, as typed in Exodus chapter 4 and in Numbers chapter 16, verses 12 and 25 to 32, act as the chairman of the executive council, as chief administrator of the affairs of the association, and as a worker and minister in the general interest of the association. That's in the book of Leviticus, page 6. The president of the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist Association Executive Council, or the General Conference President, in this final analysis is to take the place of the antitypical Moses with the shepherd's rod, who led the church to the border of the kingdom. The antitypical Joshua, who takes Moses' place as the president and chairman, is to be chosen by the inspiration to lead Israel into the kingdom of the Yahweh, as was Joshua of old. No other interpretation of the Davidian SDA Leviticus by the Vicki Holliff or of the Spirit of Prophecy by Ellen G. White will suffice. Therefore, it is plainly seen that the president of the General Conference or the Davidian Association is called and chosen by the inspiration and not by a majority vote of any committee or body of people. Again, we state the president, the antitype of Joshua, Numbers 27, 12, 23, follows the antitypical Moses and acts as the chairman of the executive council, which is called and chosen by him, with the Yahweh's direction, the same as in the type of the Moses, read Exodus 3, 10 to 25. Those who follow any other procedure in the organizing of an executive council or a general conference are not following the Bible order or instruction by the inspiration. Those who do not follow the plan and order set forth by the Yahweh himself are proceeding after the manner of the Gentiles, or those wicked princes in the Moses' day who were swallowed up when the earth opened her mouth to consume them. Read Numbers 16, 12 to 33. Okay, it says Article 5, Session. This association shall hold regular session at such time and place as the Executive Council shall designate by a notice published in the symbolic code, the official organ of the organization, in two consecutive issues before the date of the opening of the session, Leviticus page 7. This article provides for the association, which is already organized by a president. He was called of Yahweh to hold regular session or special session, section 2, all the time, and place designated by the executive council, whose chairman is the president of the association, is called by the inspiration Ezekiel 3:17, and who is the publisher of the symbolic code. Therefore, Article 5 does not make provision for a session or a special session to be called, to organize an executive council, or to elect a president, or vice president, or council members of the association or general conference. Bylaws, Article 1, Executive Council. A. The Executive Council shall be patterned after the council described in Acts chapter 6, verses 2 to 6. It shall have full executive and administrative power between sessions of the association. C. It shall be vested with the authority to grant credentials and license and to fill vacancies that may occur in any of the association's offices, save the office of the president. The Leviticus page 9. The 12 apostles of the governing council at that time asked a multitude of the disciples who had received the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38, to look out as 7 men of the honest report full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, Acts 6:5. When Moses, Yahweh's chosen instrument, as were the 12 apostles, followed Yahweh's instructions in calling the 70, Numbers 11, 16, and 17, Yahweh put the Spirit that was upon Moses upon them, and they prophesied, in Numbers 11, 25. The president of the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist Association, the chairman of the executive council, and author, publisher of the Leviticus bylaws, states the executive council members shall be called and chosen as the 70 in the days of Moses, and also the 70 who were chosen by the Yeshua, Luke 10:1. Consequently, there will be the 12 and the 70 appointed and named by the Yahweh and the branch, fulfilling the type of the Yahshua's word. The executive council, with its president, chairman, the antitype of Moses, Leviticus Article 1, Section 2, shall be vested with authority to fill vacancies that may occur in any of the association's offices, save the office of the president. As in the type, when Moses of old came near and to the end of his task for Yahweh, he was commanded by the Yahweh to lay his hands upon the Joshua to lead Israel into the land promised to Abraham and his seed in the Antitype. And Moses of Ade, Viti Hale, lays his hands by the medium of the shepherd rod upon the antitypical Joshua to succeed him. Numbers 27:18, 1 TG 8:24, to purify the church, Joshua 7, and lead Israel into the kingdom. Therefore, the president, chairman of the executive council, the antitypical Moses, fills the vacancy of his office after the pattern of Moses and the type, as foretold by the inspiration. The Leviticus, page 6. These scriptures plainly show that the Exodus movement of old, led by the Moses through his shepherd's rod from Egypt to Canaan, points forward in time to the final deliverance of the Yahweh's people from, or the Yahshua's people, the son of Yahweh, from the long servitude to the kingdoms of this world, to freedom and the kingdom of the Yahweh accordingly. This final and latter day, it's actually the kingdom of Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. Accordingly, this final and latter day Exodus movement is to be led by the antithetical shepherd's rod and liberated from all earthly bonds, from sin and from sinners. But let it be remembered that the Exodus movement, the tithe, was in the two sections. The first section being led by the Moses and the second by the Joshua, and that it was the last, the purified section, that which grew up after the 40 years of wilderness wandering, and after all but two who were over the 20 years of age when they left Egypt had died, that possessed the land. For the movement led by the rod today is the only movement in Christendom fitting the type the Israel of the Joshua day, like it drawing his followers only from the parent movement and having as its threefold objective, the deliverance of the Yahweh's people from bondage, the possession of the land, and the establishment of the kingdom. Thus we see that it was not until after the murmurers were eliminated and the ensample that Joshua took over and led the Exodus movement into the land of the Canaan. This is in the answer book number 3, page 19-21. In order to make clear the two sections of the antitype, we must establish the first section of the type as it applies in the antitype. To do this, we shall use 3 statements from the pen of Brother Vicki Holler, author and publisher of The Shepherd's Rod. It says, number 1, purporting to be the antitype of the first Exodus, the Shepherd's Rod takes its name from Moses' rod, the instrument through which the Yahweh manifested his power and the deliverance of the children of Israel, Shepherd Rod Tract number 6, page 2, I guess. Let us please keep in mind that Moses led ancient Israel with the first section of her deliverance from bondage in Egypt, and Joshua the second section, the shepherd's rod, therefore was sent to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, modern-day Israel, which had turned back from following Yahshua, her leader, and steadily retreated from Egypt. Read chapter 5:2-17. Number 2, finally, Moses arrived in Egypt and his success in the freeing of the Hebrew host and restoring order and religious liberty in 25:13 a.m. coincides with the arrival of the shepherd rod in 1930 A.D. and with his endeavor to effect revival and reformation and the free Israel of today. Shepherd Rod Tract 71, page 71, Shepherd Rod Tract Okay. Number three, hence anyone can see that the 430 typical years and their interwoven events from the time Abraham went out of the Ur until the time Moses with this Yahweh's rod went out of the Egypt and delivered the law at Mount Sinai, must 430 antitypical years from the time Luther discontinued his study of the law and began the study of the Bible until the year in which the shepherd rod proclaimed the sealing of the 144,000, the deliverance of modern Israel. Page 71. Okay. So it says they were 430 years from the call of Abraham unto the typical Moses with the rod, and 430 years from the call of Luther in 1500 AD unto the antitypical Moses with the shepherd rod in 1930. Hence, in the plain, simple words, antitypical Moses with the shepherd rod, as leader of the first section of the modernism, Exodus from the bondage in Egypt, is none other than the brother Victor T. Hollis. Likewise, in the same manner, let us answer the question in many minds today as to who is the antitypical Joshua, leader of the second section of the Exodus of modern Israel. From the antitypical Egypt and her wilderness wandering into the Canaan's land today, Joshua, not Moses, is the leader of the second section, the one that brings the purification, as Joshua the type did anciently. Read Joshua. Who is to bring this revival and reformation, this great change, the branch? And according to Isaiah 11:1-5, the branch is the Yahshua, the son of David. 1 TG 8:24. The judge and ruler, interpreter of the law. What can all this mean? Just this, Joshua is a heaven's appointed judge, interpreter of the law. This is in Zechariah 3. Joshua the son of Josedek, ruler he himself crowned as such, and in response to the Yahweh's, the branch's own command, Joshua crowns, authorizes his helpers on the executive council, whom the Yahweh himself named. In other words, as members of the house of the David, Joshua authorizes them to engage in their work. So Joshua is responsible to the Yahweh, the branch. But his helpers are responsible under Joshua. Here is seen an organization having a leader, the branch, and an under-leader, the Yahshua. And an under-leader would be antitypical Elijah David. The branch and Joshua, 1 TG 8:26. Parentheses belongs to quotation. The branch, the new name of the Yahshua. Let this mind be in you, that the branch is the new name of the Yahshua, the leader, and Joshua is the heaven's appointed judge, ruler, and king. Well, this would be antitypical David. Zechariah 3, Joshua the son of Josedek is actually antitypical Elijah David, position in the 12th parabolic hour, the under-leader. It is easy to see. There is nothing here difficult to understand. For the Joshua is chosen by the heaven to tell the church and the world about the branch, the Yahweh, and to interpret his law. When we consider that the branch grows up under David, and the land promised Abraham and his seed, and this is the name, branch, wherewith she shall be called the Yeshua, or righteousness. It is simple to understand that Abraham's seed is called by the Yahweh's name, or the Yeshua's name, the branch of righteousness. In Jeremiah 33:15-16, Yeshua's new name, read Revelation 3:12. 144,000 sealed with three seals, for the 144,000 were all sealed and perfectly united on their foreheads, was written, Yahweh, New Jerusalem, and the glorious star containing Yeshua's new name. Early Writings 15. This is Ellen G. White's first vision. The statement tells us that when the 144,000 are perfectly united, they will be sealed with the three seals. Number one, the seal of Yahweh's name is found in the Sabbath, Great Controversy 452. Number two, the seal of the New Jerusalem, the capital city of the everlasting kingdom of heaven here on earth in the 12th hour, is in the message of the angel from the east, Revelation 7:1-4, that comes in numbers 144, and seals 144,000. Number three, for the seal and the glorious star, which Yahshua is represented by this glorious star, representing the kingdom of the David, containing Yahshua's new name, Revelation 2:17, 3:12, Jeremiah 23:5-6, 33:15, and 16, Zechariah 3:8, 6:12, and 13, Isaiah 11:1, and Testimonies of Ministers 4:4-9. Obviously then, as a result of this revival and reformation, within the Seventh-day Adventist Laodicean Church, another church emerges, which Joshua is not antitypical. Moses is in charge, and not the angel of Laodicea. 1 TG 8:24. Many years ago, Ellen G. White wrote regarding this most important step in the Yahweh's work to wit. I saw the Yahshua, or I saw that the Yahweh the Father would raise up a Joshua that would lead us into the kingdom. Review and Herald, May 29, 1860, Zechariah 6:11. Then take silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Joshua the son of Joseph, the high priest. For the angel is commanded to take silver and gold and to make crowns, not one, but more than one. They are set upon Joshua's head. Verse 14, and the crown shall be unto Helam, and to Tobiah, and unto Jedidiah, and to him the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Yahshua. Verse 14 reveals that Joshua is to pass the crowns on unto his helpers, whom the Yahshua himself named. This is to be a memorial, an everlasting reminder, in the temple of the Yahshua. 1 TG 8:26. That all who are honest and wish to receive the truth on his own merits, regardless from whence it comes, and likewise to receive a crown and be in the Yahweh's everlasting kingdom of glory, surely consider the following facts. Number one, since Sister Ellen G. White's work and message was for the world and the church, while the church SDA was retreating into Egypt. 5T 217. Brother Hart's work and message of the shepherd's rod was in the antitype to deliver modern Israel SDA out of Egypt, as the Moses with the rod was sent to lead ancient Israel from the Egypt, one shepherd rod. Page 6. Number 2. Neither of these messengers should be the antitypical Joshua. The type demands an antitypical Joshua, chosen of the Yahweh, sometime after Mrs. White and V.T. Holler to lead modern Israel into the kingdom. He that receives the present truth of the Yahshua's new name will receive a crown passed on unto him by Joshua. And that's who we are, the house of David. Joshua has the knowledge of the new name, and that new name is Yahshua. Because the translators had only put the label of Lord to identify Yahshua of the Old Testament and the New, with which the crown or a shield, the 144,000 first fruits of the Israel. So whenever Israel starts harvesting, they're going to harvest 144,000. That's the first fruits harvest for purified Israel. And they go into the Adventist church to do that harvesting. That's the first field they work in. Israel, the house of David, the purified Israel of today, kingdom. Revelation 7:1-8, Revelation 14:1-4. And a great multitude of the second fruits of all nations, Revelation 7:9. This is indeed the marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelation 19:9. It is a supper at this midnight hour, and as it were unto which the Yahshua calls you. Can you hear his voice as he pleads with you through his servant Joshua the high priest, judge and ruler? Please remember though, the Yahshua cannot name you unless you accept his new name, which is the crowning act of the good news of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews chapter 10, of Yahshua that Joshua wishes to present to you. For the young lady cannot receive the young man's name, his home, and all that he has provided for her unless she is willing to forsake her name, her home, and all that she has to go live with him. Therefore, the young man waits until he finds a young lady who wishes to share all that he has. Consequently, the Yahshua cannot name you unless you are willing to receive his new name. And V.T. Holler calls that the branch. Hence, Joshua is unable to pass the crown on to any whom the Yahweh does not name with his new name. Or the Yahshua does not name with his new name. And he calls that the, according to Ben Roden here, the branch. Friends, do you wish a crown of eternal life? Let us be glad and rejoice, therefore, and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Revelation 19:7. All who are willing to forsake all that they have to share all that he has are making themselves ready. they are changing their own self-righteousness for His righteousness. And to her, His church was granted that she should be arrayed in the fine linen, pure and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Revelation 19:8. For the righteousness of the saints is the message of the Yahshua's righteousness. Ezekiel 9:3-4. We see one of the six men clothed in the linen with the writer's ink on by his side. He is clothed with the message of the righteousness of the Yahshua, his new name, with which to mark or seal 144,000 first fruits in their forehead, put it in their mind, Revelation 14:1-4. And he saith unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of the Yahweh, Revelation 19:10. For the marriage supper of the Lamb, this message of the white linen, Yahshua's righteousness, is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Yahshua. Worship the Yahweh, for the testimony of Yahshua is the spirit of the prophecy. Revelation 19:10. Since some felt like worshiping Joshua for bringing such a wonderful message, but he reminds them that we are not to worship man, even though he has a testimony of Yahshua, which is the spirit of the prophecy, but the Yahweh's elect should worship him by following the instructions of the message and the spirit of the prophecy. Testimonies of the Yahshua, the ceremonial law. For the testimony of Yahshua is an inspired message pertaining unto our Savior. For instance, a true knowledge of the ceremonial law testifies of the Yahshua, our sacrifice and Redeemer, Brother V.T. Hollis, and his study on the temple's type explains this truth in the following statement. For the typical temple represents both sections of the church with the two divine laws, namely moral and ceremonial. Thus, the woman represents a church that keeps the commandments of Yahweh and his son Yahshua, moral law, and have the testimony of the Yahshua, ceremonial law. 2 Shepherd Rod 2:68. Our Creator is disclosed unto the view in the moral law, whereas our Redeemer Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, and Recreator is revealed in the ceremonial law, which is the testimony of the Yahshua. I entreat of you to read the 3rd and 4th chapters of the Zechariah. If these chapters are understood, if they are received, a work will be done for those who are hungering and thirsting for the righteousness. A work that means to the church, go forward and add upwards, 6:2-6. For this message of the Yahshua, our righteousness, Zechariah states, is brought by the Joshua, the judge or the ruler, the interpreter of the law, who is crowned as a David over the Yahweh's people. Read 1 TG 8:26. Whereas in the time of the investigative judgment of the living, Ezekiel 23:36, Ezekiel is told to judge Israel, Ahola-Eshtiei and Judah, Aholaba, Ki-Eshtiei, by declaring unto them their abomination. Helen G. White states, and the balances of the sanctuary, the Seventh-day Adventist Church is to be weighed. 8T247. Righteousness of the Yahshua, a judgment of the living. However, under another symbolism, Joshua shows that the one who has the keys to the door of Yahshua, John chapter 10, and his kingdom is the porter, John 10. Well, this house of David, we're the ones that have the keys to this door. The same truth of the Yahshua righteousness is taught by joining the two sticks, the two kingdoms of the Israel, Ephraim, SDA, with the headquarters of the North, Tacoma Park, D.C., and Judah, DSDA, with the headquarters in the South, Texas, and showing antitypical David as his shepherd who joins the two sticks and teaches Yahshua's people to walk in the Yahshua's judgment and to observe his statutes. David is the Yahshua's servant, king and prince over his people forever. The kingdom of Yahshua and David the king. And the antitypical David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgment and observe my statute and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. They shall dwell therein, even they, and their children's children forever. And my antitypical servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. For my tabernacles also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their Yahshua, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Yahshua, do sanctify Israel. When my sanctuary and the house of David shall be and the midst of them forevermore. Ezekiel 37:24-28. Even the heathen shall know that the Yahshua sanctifies Israel when they are in his kingdom, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name which the mouth of the Yahshua shall name. Isaiah 62:2. We will not have this man. This is our next subtitle on page 19. With this abundant knowledge of the most glorious truth of the righteousness of the Yahshua in our midst, people still doubt and say, by their actions, if not by their words, that they will not have this man. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Luke 19:14. For the Yahshua is hated by his citizens because of his choice of the person he appoints to reign over them. That's the antitypical David. Says the Yahshua servants regarding this scripture, as they sent a message after him, saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." For the only conclusion admissible is that shortly before his return, Joshua shall inform his citizen that he has taken the reins in his own hand to set up his kingdom, and that they, upon hearing the announcement, shall refuse to submit themselves unto the one through whom he is to rule. Observe that in the message which they sent after him, his servants did not say, "We will not have you to reign over us," but rather, "We will not have this man to reign over us." What they objected to was Yahshua reigning over them through someone else. Clearly then, before he is coronated, and prior unto his return to reckon with his servants, he appoints a man to reign over them in his stead. Whereupon they say unto him, by their attitude and stand toward his message, "We will not have this man to reign over us." Although this man, as we now see, is the antithetical David, the simple means, the visible king, track 8, page 71, capitals for the VTH's initials. Notwithstanding all of his citizens who hate him and who send their messages showing their displeasure with the Yahshua because of the antithetical David he places over his flock, there will be many who shall take hold of the skirt of him as a Jew, saying, "We will go with you, for we have heard that the Yahshua is with you." Zechariah 8:23. That is, the one who is a Jew represents Yahshua in the person of his saint, the 144,000. His skirt represents truth or the church as a whole, by which the 144,000 are symbolically clothed. 2 Shepherds, Rod 281 and 2. Jesse, Rod, and Branch. This is our next subtitle. Plainly, therefore, the rod coming from the stem of Jesse is symbolical of the David, and the branch coming from the rod is symbolical of the son of David, Yahshua. Upon this instant, branch and rod, the spirit of the Yahshua shall rest. Track 8:46. Parentheses belong to the quotation. Since therefore from the stem of Jesse, the father of David, came the rod of David, and from the rod sprang the branch, Yahshua. David the visible king and Yahshua the invisible king of kings shall in that day, in our time, constitute the ensign, and to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest are his resting place, the location where the rod or ensign stands, the kingdom shall be glorious. Yea, I will make the place of my feet glorious. Isaiah 60:13. Saith Yahshua, track 8:47. Whereas antitypical Ezekiel is depicted as a judge at the same time. Zechariah said, he is Joshua, and the symbolism of joining the two sticks. Okay. Well, that's antitypical David. Antitypical David is the one that joins the two sticks, for he's the one with the interpretation of the prophecies to do that. For Ezekiel called Yahshua's servant, antitypical David. In John chapter 10, Yahshua says he is the porter who opens the door unto the kingdom. John chapter 10. Luke states he is the one left in the charge of the work, and the citizens are so displeased with the one to the point where they hate the Yahshua for it and send him a message saying so. For the Malachi states he is the one the Yahshua puts in charge with whom his citizens are displeased is Elijah, Malachi 4:46. Read Testimonies and Ministries 475, paragraph 3. Joshua of the old was chosen to lead Israel, Numbers 28:17-23, into the promised land and to purify the camp, Joshua 7. So it is with the antitypical Joshua. All these are depicted as one and the same individual who brings to the church the message of the Yahshua's righteousness, the investigative judgment of the living, the message that judges the present-day church, Ahola and Aholabah. That would be the Adventist and the Davidian Adventist, the shepherd rod. Joshua says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. John 12:48. Samuel anoints the David king. That's our next subtitle. It says that David of old was anointed by the Samuel to be the king of Israel while Saul was yet king. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the spirit of the Yahweh came upon the antitypical David from that day forward, or from the typical David. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah, but the spirit of the Yahweh departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Yahweh troubled him. 1 Samuel 16:13-14. And for the antitypical David, Joshua, etc., is anointed, while the antitypical Saul, SDA, General Conference, ruler of the modern Israel, and his son Jonathan, DSDA, are yet living. You recall Jonathan ate honey against the Saul's instructions to fast. He put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then Saul said unto Jonathan, tell me what thou hast done. And Jonathan told him and said, I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in mine hand, and lo, I must die. 1 Samuel 14:27-43. In the Zechariah chapter 3:6, Joshua is shown with the angel, which is Yahshua the branch. See 1 Kings 8:24-27. 5 Testimonies, volume 5, 467-476. At the same time, Jeremiah showed that the church that is called by the Yahshua's new name branch, that would be the house of David, she, the Yahshua or righteousness, grows up unto the antitypical David, their judge, ruler. Read Jeremiah 23:5-6. 33:15-16. This is in the days of for the salvation of the Judah and Israel, in the time in which they are saved, in the probationary time of the last parabolic hour, and that's the hour we're in now, number 12. For the three divisions of the true church, my next subtitle and last subtitle. Here it is plain to see that the three divisions of the Seventh-day Adventist church are shown in the typology, which explains and establishes the prophecy pertaining unto them. It is necessary to obtain this information so that the elect will not be deceived by one of the three divisions of the false who claims to be the true. Through type and antitype, we have a sure way to prove who is the true remnant church. Okay. Saul, Jonathan, and David in the antitype. Although Saul was lost with the David and threatened his life, even pursuing after him to slay him, yet when David found Saul asleep in a cave, he would not harm Saul, but cut off only the skirt of his robe, just a part of his covering. Read 1 Samuel 24, 1-4. When the David's men saw Saul sleeping, they reminded him of the Yahweh's promise to deliver Saul into his hand. 1 Samuel 24, 4. Nevertheless, David did not fall into the enemy's trap, but rather cut off Saul's skirt. Even so, afterwards, David's conscience smote him with the realization that he had committed a discourtesy to the reigning king. Therefore, he apologized unto Saul. However, the incident helped Saul to realize David's love and respect for him as his superior. At the same time, both men were conscious of the fact that David was to be king over Israel rather than Saul's posterity. Therefore, Saul had compassion on the David as he saw the genuineness of his character. The result of this coincidence was that the two men were made conscious of the close bond between them. David called him father, and Saul called David his son. So it is in the closing work for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the General Conference Brethren, the antitype of Saul, realize that they will not be permitted to continue conducting the Yahweh's work from Tacoma Park, Washington, D.C., in the time of the loud cry, since they cannot then buy or sell without receiving the mark of the beast, Revelation 13:17. Here is wisdom. The antitypical Saul, the General Conference Brethren, is well aware of the fact that his posterity, the General Conference, with an elected president at the Tacoma Park, D.C., will not be the governing body for the church in the last days. In the studying of the Bible regarding this subject and making the application of the type and antitype in this manner, they are made aware of the antitypical David's love for them and his great zeal and desire for their salvation and progress of the work of the message by the angel who joins the third angel's message as it swells unto a loud cry. Read Revelation 14:18, 18:1-4, Testimonies, Ministry 59, 300, C.G. White 277. The truth established by the type, symbols, and antitype is our next subtitle, and we're going to save that for our next study, part 3. This brings in the rest of this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour, call us at number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.